This is Pastor Dean Proctor from Queensway Baptist Church in Brantford, Ontario, Canada. You're listening to a podcast of one of our latest sermons. At Queensway, we seek to impact lives for Jesus in this generation and in generations to come. As you listen to this podcast, we trust you'll be blessed. Well, the waiting is almost over. We are wrapping up today this journey called Advent that we've been on for 4 weeks. Advent, a period of preparation, a time of readying for the arrival of the Savior. And Advent, this is the last Sunday of Advent, and then 2 days forward, we have our Christmas Eve observances. And then what? What comes after that? I mean, we've been doing the run-up to this since November the 1st, and then in 2 days, bam. By, 6 o'clock on Boxing Day, your 24/7 radio stations go back to regular chunky music? Then what? Then shortly after that, trees start piling up at the curb, decorations being put away again and jammed up into the attic. I'm not trying to wish away the fourth Sunday of Advent. I'm just keenly aware today of how long it took to get here and how quickly that it's over. All the preparations and all the plans. And maybe for you, you're thinking, good, let's get this thing done. Maybe despite your best efforts, you've gotten caught up in the clutter of it. I'm going to try and have a simple Christmas this time. We're not going to get caught up in all the stuff. And then before you know it, you're caught up in all the stuff. In this series, these four Sundays, we've been talking about ways to unclutter our Christmas by simplifying things. Primarily, we talked about how we need to focus on worship. That was week one. How we need to invest in relationships, keeping those first things first. That's two. And then through serving both immediate and ultimate needs. That was the third week. Well, today we're going to talk about how we can unclutter our giving, we can unclutter our Christmas through giving. Giving is naturally a big part of our Christmas observances and that whole experience. And I'm not going to, you know, take a bunch of time and talk to you about the evils of commercialism or materialism. That's low-hanging fruit. I don't want to do that this morning. I don't want to talk about the seduction of Black Friday. The easy shopping of Cyber Monday. And I don't know if you saw, I said this to Annette in the 9 o'clock. We were watching TV last night. There's this thing called Panic Saturday. Did anybody know this? That was yesterday. And so they were shooting all these stories in the malls because it's Panic Saturday. It's your last Saturday of shopping. It's like mostly guys, of course, right? Panic Saturday is a thing. And all of these things, you can get caught up in them. Instead, I want to talk about the act of giving. Not the way that we give, but the act of giving. What's behind that? Giving to others out of what God has entrusted to us. That's what I want to talk about this morning. Giving involves being generous. And if you were here back in November when we were working through the Book of Proverbs series, I did a whole message on being generous. And I said this that day. The Book of Proverbs declares that God blesses generosity, not stinginess. That God is generous, abundantly so. And as his creation, we ought to reflect the same nature. There's a tremendous freedom in remembering that everything belongs to the Lord. We come into the world, materially speaking, with nothing, and we'll go out of the world the same way. And everything in between that we think we own, possess, have, earned, bought, treasured, hoarded, or shared, all belongs to God. And I wanted to start off this morning with that reminder, as we're talking about giving, that uncluttering our Christmas and about giving the most important things at Christmas, because everything that we're going to offer another person originates from God. Time, talent, treasure. It's all a gift from God. So yeah, we'll exchange gifts with family. We'll exchange gifts with friends and co-workers, maybe. We'll make a year-end contribution to our favorite not-for-profit. And none of that is wrong, right? Don't hear me say any of that is wrong. Where it gets wrong is where we lose the focus of why we're doing that and who we're doing it for, ultimately. Are we doing it for the income tax receipt? Or are we doing it because the Lord has blessed us? And we want to continue to bless others because of that. So to help us think through this idea of how to give in an uncluttered way, I want to take you back to the very first Christmas givers and see what they can teach us this morning. It's one of the most included parts of nativity scenes, and also the most unbiblical part. Okay? There's a whole message in there that I'm not going to do, but the wise men, the magi, these astrologers, they're on your mantle, they're on my little nativity at home, they're there, except they weren't there. Let's keep that straight. Despite the song that we sing, they weren't kings. There's nothing in the scripture that tells us they were rulers of any kind. So we three kings, well, the Bible doesn't say that. We three, Bible doesn't even say that. The Bible is clear that there were three different kinds of gifts given. And so that's where tradition has given rise to, well, then there must have been three guys, because what guy buys more than one thing, right? So, three gifts must be three guys. The Bible's silent on that. Could be dozens of them. We don't know that. We do know that they did not show up at the nativity. They did not show up at the place where Jesus lie. They weren't there the night of his birth. They weren't there 8 days later when he was being dedicated in the temple. They had traveled from Persia or Saudi Arabia, and they arrived 2 years later. 2 years. Whoever they were, however many of them there were, they're going to teach us this morning about giving in a worshipful way. They arrive in Bethlehem to pay tribute to the one born the King of the Jews. Matthew, in his gospel, is the only one that actually mentions them. In doing so, in Matthew chapter 2, he records some real important information about the experience that these astrologers had relative to the birth of Jesus and how we might learn from them as well. So in Matthew chapter 2, I'm just going to read the first two verses, and then we'll pick up in a few moments after that. So Matthew 2, 1 to 2. And this is what the Bible says about the wise men. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him." Okay, stop there. So you got these worldly wise men from the east of Jerusalem, east of Bethlehem at least. They make this journey to this small town of Bethlehem. They didn't know precisely what they would find. And yet, they felt it extremely important and worth going through the effort to go and see, to pay homage. So it's a long journey. It wasn't a, what are you doing this weekend kind of journey. It was 2 years to get to the answer to, what is this star all about? And who does this signify? And what is the importance of this? Before they even got to where the now toddler-aged Messiah was living, already they had given a substantial amount of time. And that's my first point this morning that we can learn from the Magi. I think still one of the best ways to show someone that you value them is to give them the time. Pay attention. Take the time to invest in them and in the needs that they have in the moment. And that takes planning, but that also takes intentionality too, because, hey, in the hustle and bustle, way easier to drop a card off, way easier to mail a gift card, way easier to do any of those things than to just stop and be present with someone. Letting them know that they're valued, loved by God, valued by you, listening to them and doing so in an unhurried way. That is a great gift, and it is a great depiction, a great picture of what Christian love actually looks like. But it's not something that we do easily. Quick show of hands, don't tell me who said it. How many people have heard someone say to them, we need to get together over the holidays? Yeah. How many of you expect to get together over the holidays with the person that said that? Right? Not that their intention wasn't good. Not that they don't value you. We just don't make the time. It's like pulling your hand out of a bucket of water. It just gets swallowed up. There's no hole left when you make room. It just gets swallowed up. And so it is with our time. If we don't dedicate that time and devote that time, it just gets swallowed up by other demands. So what if we made it a priority to make time for others? Make time. In fact, no, not even make time. We don't have to make time. We have the time. We need to devote the time. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day that God gave you 24 hours. Now, how are you going to use them? How are you going to use them as a gift to someone else? You don't have to make the time. You've been given the time. Now you give it away. Be generous. Pass on time. One of the themes that I've been repeating as we go through this series is to put first things first. Put worshiping Jesus first. Put relationships ahead of stuff. Put serving ahead of being served. And there are ways that we can put our giving practices in line as well, to be purposeful, to be intentional about giving what truly matters. What truly matters. I think it begins when we're children and we open up a gift of socks. We learn then because our mom said, you better say thank you. Oh, this is great. Thank you very much for this. This is what I always wanted. And that carries on through our lives sometimes, because not every gift we've ever received has been a thoughtful gift. Not every gift we've ever given has been a thoughtful gift. And some of them, they just reek of, this was on the rack right near the checkout, and I hadn't checked your name off my list yet, so this is what you get. But then there are times when you get something and you go, I can't believe the amount of time that you devoted to this. I can't believe that you remembered that I said that, that I liked that thing, that I was interested in that. You took the time to make what I needed or wanted or liked a priority. I think back to 2015 when this church threw me a surprise graduation party. And the gifts that you blessed me with that night, they all centered around the number 10, which I thought was really cool. But they were so thoughtful. Like they were thoughtful. They were thoughtful things. She's not here, so I can tell you this. She's now Claire Hildebrandt, Claire Hurlburt. Since I came here 10 years ago, she just had this nickname, Fruit. I just call her Fruit, and there's a story for it. But so Fruit gave me a gift of a tray with 10 different kinds of fruit on it. And as soon as I saw, I went, I know who this is from. This is Fruit. Fruit gave me 10 kinds of fruit for my 10th anniversary. That took thought. That took intent. And it meant so much. Well, the Magi teach us about meaningful gifts as well, putting thought into the gifts that we give. There's this event that is super important, and we're going to spend some time on it on Christmas Eve with Herod when he encounters the Magi, verses 3 to 8 of Matthew chapter 2. But I want to pick up at verse 9 with you this morning. We've seen how the Magi started out on their journey. Now we're going to read about them concluding their journey in Matthew 2, verses 9 to 11. So they've encountered King Herod. He's lied to them. And then it says, after listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Doesn't that sound redundant to you, first of all? Pause there. They rejoiced with great joy. The Bible says that's how excited they were. They rejoiced with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. So these gifts that the wise men brought were not just valuable. That's not really the point here. They were meaningful gifts. They meant something, and they meant more than probably the wise men even realized at the time. To a family living in abject poverty, as it's likely that Mary and Joseph and the now two-year-old Jesus were, well, somebody hands you gold, that's a good gift. That's a meaningful gift. Frankincense? Well, we encounter incense first in Exodus chapter 30. God is laying out the instruments for worship in the tabernacle with Moses and the Israelites, and incense was a specifically named ingredient in worship. And then third was myrrh. What about myrrh? Well, myrrh was used for several things at this time. You would find it as an ingredient in perfume. You would find it as an ingredient in anointing oils. But it was also used in the ceremonial preparation of bodies for burial. So now you zoom out 2,000 years later with the knowledge of the whole counsel of God in front of us, with clear identity of who Jesus is. What better gift for a king than gold? What better tool to show worship of God but incense? What better gift for one who would eventually die and be buried for the sins of the world than myrrh? So suddenly those things take on a much deeper and more meaningful purpose as gifts. In the gifts that we give, time, talent, treasure, we need to be that purposeful. We need to be that meaningful, that personal, that intentional, as the Magi were. That doesn't mean it has to be expensive. Okay, that's not what I'm talking about. It means that we should be thoughtful in our giving, selfless, other-focused. Every year, WestJet puts out a video. This is a screen cap from this year's. And what the video does is it's a commercial. But secondly, it tells a story of the holidays and makes supposed to make you feel good. And if you're like me, it makes you cry by the end of the video. This is this year's. And the premise is that at some point they set up in an airport somewhere like this snow dome igloo thing. And travelers were invited to come in to this thing. You encounter Santa in a blue suit, I don't know, and Santa gives a gift. So this is what he's holding here. It's a gift. And the gifts were things like a flight anywhere in the world or a family vacation or something like that. And, of course, WestJet's all writing it all off as promotion anyway. And so here's the gift. Now, before you go, in the spirit of giving and receiving, you can take that, no strings attached, or you can return it and it'll go to someone who could really use it. Somebody like who's staying in a Ronald McDonald House while their children go through life-altering medical treatments. It wasn't about guilt. It wasn't about, you know, shaming somebody into giving it back. It was more saying, you are free to take that, but I want to remind you that there are others in need in the world. And this particular couple, I grabbed this screen cap because there's just a few little seconds in the video, and I commend you to go and look for it. I was going to show the whole video this morning, but it's like 4 minutes long, and then I would cry after, and then we would never get the sermon done. So this dad and mom and their little baby, and there's this little clip where the dad, he's been invited to keep the gift or return the gift, and he leans down and he speaks to his little son or daughter, it's unclear, all wrapped up there. And he says, well, we already have everything we need anyway, don't we? And that's really kind of the point of what they're trying to get at, along with us talking about WestJet in church. They're trying to get at that reminder of generosity, of being thoughtful, of being selfless. It's a stark picture of children being handed a family vacation and saying, no, somebody else can use this. And they're understanding the call to be generous, to be thoughtful, to think of others, to bless others, to be grateful, as this dad says, for the things that you have. And these are messages that we need to hear, and these are messages that WestJet is reminding us of, and that's good. But as the church, if we're really going to keep first things first, we have to get beyond just making someone feel good. We have to make sure that we're being thoughtful, that we're being grateful ourselves, and that we're sharing the real center of Christmas, and that's Jesus. Because let's don't forget that the real purpose for the wise men's two-year journey to Bethlehem was to honor and worship Jesus. We put worship in the first week of this series back on December the 1st. And Matthew 2, verse 11, we read it earlier, says they entered the house, okay, house, not barn, not stable, not cave, house. They saw the child with his mother Mary, and then it says this, and they bowed down and worshiped him. And then they presented their gifts and treasures. I think there is significance for us in the order that the Magi did things in. It started with them giving the gift of time. They journeyed and traveled. It followed up with them seeking out Jesus. They followed the star wherever it led them. They worshiped Jesus. It's the first thing they did when they came in the house. Bowed down in reverence. And then they presented their gifts to him, meaningful gifts, giving thanks and blessing his name. And what I'm saying this morning is I think you and I can learn from that. I think we can unclutter our Christmas giving in a really significant way if we can follow the same process, the same outline as the Magi did. We begin by making time for Jesus, giving time. Read the Christmas story if you haven't done it yet in Luke 1 and 2. Read it yourself. Set apart time just to be quiet with Jesus, to connect at the soul level with him. Yes, make sure that you spend quality time with important loved ones, but make sure you spend quality time with Jesus in worship, in prayer, in his word. And here's the interesting thing. We've been reading through this devotional through Advent. And with any devotional, if you're like me, you suddenly realize you're 2 days behind, 3 days behind, and you're like, I didn't make the time. I didn't take the time to do this. And then when you make the time and you sit down and read it, it's like it was written especially for you in that moment. I would have missed this message. I would have missed this word from God if I didn't take the time. And when you take the time, when you take the time, it's interesting how many times you find out that Jesus was waiting there all along for you. Second thing, seek him out. Seek him. Be intentional. None of us can possibly know all there is to know about the nature and character of God. So study more, listen more, read more, pray more. Hear what he's doing in the lives of others. Hear what he's doing in the lives of our partners in mission. Pursue him, mind, body, and soul. Third, worship. Spend time bowing down and worshiping him in your giving. I trust that being here this morning is part of that for you. But I'm inviting you to make worship and praise of him more than simply that hurried prayer before everything gets cold at the dinner table. Make time. Make it a goal in the new year to be together as a family, to be together in worship regularly and purposefully. And then finally, bring everything under, bring everything to him, place everything under him, before him. Place your marriage in his hands. Place your parenting in his hands. Place your career, your workplace in his hands. Your finances, your dreams, your plans, your hopes, put it all in his hands. Let him administrate it. Do you know what he's uniquely created you to do and be? Do you know? Like, the body is meant to function with everybody playing its part as God created us to be and do. Do you know your part? Do you know the part? I don't mean the part in the church. I'm not talking about God didn't create you to be on a committee. I'm talking about in the body. Some are given to be apostles and prophets and evangelists and shepherds and teachers and administrators. What's your part? Do you know? Find out and then lay that before him. Give him everything. Things go so much easier, so much better and more smoothly, I think, when you realize that God is prepared to handle everything. And he can handle the big things. He can handle everything. Just give it over to him. So we're on this last Sunday of Advent, a couple of days away from Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. I want to invite you to take away the lesson of the Magi today. And above all, whatever your journey has looked like for you in the last little while, whether you've been walking with Jesus for years or minutes, however long you've been on that journey, just keep following the star. Just keep pursuing him. Make sure that you've made room for Jesus yourself at Christmas. And we do that when we consciously trust him for salvation, when we decide to live our lives to honor him, to help others know him, and to do our part to remove stumbling blocks from in front of others. Uncluttering Christmas. It's about worship. It's about relationship. It's about serving. It's about giving. It's about Jesus. Have you received him as God's gift to you? Have you received that gift? Will you receive that gift today? As our praise team comes forward and reassembles, I just want to offer a prayer this morning that we would be inviting Christ into our lives, each one of us, that we have made room for him. Let's pray.